Hold up a minute, players. Now, hey, I'm talking to you guys up there. As general manager of SmackDown, Triple H has given me the authority to intervene when necessary. So, players, the four of you that are outside on the floor will face the four of you inside the ring.
Oh! Yes!
It will be an eight-man tag team elimination match.
Hey, everybody. This is Teddy Long, and you're listening to the GERD Report Podcast. And this is the podcast player that tell it like it is, and that's real talk. And you're going to be hanging out with my man Steve Gerrick and Frank D. Holla, holla, player.
You know it's the Mac Militant.
Coming to get it on. Get out of my way. I'm coming with thunder and lightning and striking. I'm inviting you all to the storm. I feel the pain that I'm trying to contain. My heart is black as the blood in my veins, and I'm coming to get it on.
And yo, I break and smash and straight whip ass. I can see the fear in your eyes every time that I pass. I'm intimidating the most and feared by many.
But don't trip me.
I leave the place empty.
Simply,
you get me? I'm low down, gritty and shifty. I'm low down, people against me. Even the best be afraid, cause I approach it aggressively. Especially when they roll up and test me.
Yo, so I'm a disciplined militant minded.
Slash tyrant.
If you look for a style like mine, you can't find it. Call me the M to the ACK. I break rules if you wanna come and make my
it
day.
It is Thursday, February the 11th, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerweck.net. We've been covering wrestling since 1997. Wow, coming up on 20 years next year. So for all your wrestling news, information, check out the profiles, pay-per-view section. All the audio archives are available at www.gerweck.net. Back here on the Gerwick Report podcast. And as always, I'm welcoming back my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's going on out there? It's been a long time since myself and Steve have done any type of podcast here. This is going to be great to do that. But you can check out Frank D and Abby Green on the Raw Deal podcast, which you can listen to right now at Gerwick.net in the audio section. Also, iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio as well.
And as always, you can check us out on ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick for all your great wrestling t-shirts, Gerwick.net, the Gerwick Report podcast, and the Raw Deal that Frank D does with Atlee Green. But today, Frank, he's back. Third time. Always love having this guy on, one of our favorite guests. We're just going to make him a regular here on the Gerwick Report podcast. He is the former SmackDown General Manager, ECW General Manager, managed Doom. One day we'll be in the WWE Hall of Fame because we're going to keep pushing it until he is. Today we welcome back Teddy Long. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. I'm real happy to be back here with you guys. My man Frank D, he keeping it real. And, brother, I tell you, I appreciate you guys always. You know, when you know you need me, you call me, and I'm happy to be available for you, man. And I just listen to you, man. You guys are coming up on 20 years. And, brother, you don't last for 20 years unless you're doing something. So I want to just say an early congratulations to you and just keep up the good work.
Well, I try. And sometimes, Teddy, it's a struggle because, as documented well on this podcast, the last few years, in fact, heck, I don't know, last decade or so, sometimes wrestling doesn't taste very good. We've had some ups and downs in this business. People out there always say, you know, put the product over, put the talent over, put the shows over. Well, you know, we try to give it, as you would say, real talk. What we're going to do today, we do a real talk discussion here. And, you know, sometimes when wrestling's really good and we enjoy it, we'll put it over. And when wrestling doesn't taste very good, as Bret Hart would say, we'll criticize it. So that's what we try to do. We try to keep it real. We tell it like it is here on the Gerwick Report podcast. And we got a plethora of topics to get into. Teddy, I don't know how closely you've been following the news, but it blew up yesterday on social media. Titus O'Neil was suspended by WWE, originally 90 days. He basically grabs Vince McMahon at the end of the Daniel Bryan celebration after a Raw went off the air and was on the WWE Network. Number of different angles here. Some people are saying this is a racial issue that Vince went purposely after Titus O'Neil. Boy, they got a lot of flack for that situation, WWE I'm talking about. And they ended up putting out a statement that it wasn't racial, and they have actually reduced his 90-day suspension down to 60 days. I know you've heard about this. What's your perspective on what happened to Titus O'Neil?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, you know, to the people that are trying to make this a race issue, that's just stupid. It's nothing racial about this. Now, I had a chance to work with Titus when I was there. I was there when Titus came in there, him and Darren. They were the primetime players, and they were managed by Abraham Washington. And one thing about Titus, I like Titus. He's a great guy, real nice guy, wants to do a lot of things for kids. You know, he's concerned about his community, you know, and he does a lot of positive stuff. But Titus, you know, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, let me say that right now, this is my opinion, I'm saying this, you know, Titus had the tendency to play a lot, you know what I mean? And like in the WWE, you know, it's all right to play and have fun, but sometimes, you know, you have to put the playing aside and take things a lot more serious. And I just don't think Titus took his job serious, you know, at the time. But as he, you know, progressed and, you know, stayed there longer, you know, he started to come around. So I don't know why people are saying this is race. Race has nothing to do with it. You know, you got to look at it. If it was race, Titus grabbed Vince. Vince didn't grab Titus. If Titus had never grabbed Vince, then this would have never happened. So how can you say that Vince McMahon is being racial to Titus O'Neil? He never touched Titus. Titus grabbed him. So this is something that you don't do. This is in the middle of Daniel Bryan's celebration there, his retirement. Everybody else was standing in line watching it. Why would you step out of line and grab Vince? For what? I don't understand that. But I think he understands now. I did see his comments where he said, you know, it was a stupid move. He felt like shit after he went home, and if Vince wanted to release him, then fine, he would understand that. Vince didn't say not one time about releasing him. And I think it's great that Vince reduced his suspension down to 30 days, because I know some promoters would have left it at the 90 days. They wouldn't give a shit whether he made it to WrestleMania or not. So, you know, my hat's off to Vince for doing that. You know, the man just, you don't play on the job. And playing with Vince, that's just something that you don't do. I was there for 15 years. I never done it. And I was in a position where I could have played with him. You know what I mean? Where I could have joked with him and stuff. But I understood him. The man is strictly business. When there's a time to play, there's a time to play. And Vince will have fun. He'll loosen up sometime with you. I was on his plane one time, and he was loosening up. He was playing, talking to all of us. But I didn't have a whole lot to say because, you know, I'm like flattered. I'm sitting on Vince's plane here. What do I talk about? And he said to me, he said, well, you got nothing to say. You ain't talking much, you know. And I'm like, what do you want me to say? You know? So this race, they need to let that alone. So like I said, some people just sit around on social media and they just wait on the first little thing that they can take and run with it. And that's what I think they're doing with this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I first heard about it, I was like, whoa. Because I saw it at the end of Raw where somebody, you know, something happened with Vince and then Vince pushed somebody. I didn't know it was Titus O'Neil until the story came out. And then I'm looking all over social media and everybody's saying it's a race thing. He did it because he was a black man. I didn't take it like that at all. I'm just taking it like, you know what? It's like this. If it had been, say, a John Cena or a Randy Orton or somebody higher up on the pecking order, then it wouldn't have been an issue. But since it's Titus O'Neil, it's a problem. You know, and that's the kind of work I got from it.
Let me say this to you.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have never happened. It wouldn't have been a John Cena. It wouldn't have been a Randy Orton, because John Cena, Randy Orton, those guys, they know better. Okay? And Titus O'Neil should have known better. I've seen Cena joke around with Vince, but I've never seen him joke around with him on live TV. You know, I've seen him backstage, you know what I mean? You know, play around and stuff. But like I said, these guys know better. And Titus O'Neil has been there a long time, too. He knows better. Well, he said it in his comments. He said, stupid. I was a stupid mistake. So that let me know he knew better, too. So if Titus is saying he made a stupid mistake, how can you sit there and say that this is racism? He didn't say it was that race had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's typically what it was, and I saw, you know, some of the stupid shit on social media, people saying, oh, yeah, Vince, you're showing your true colors, it's Black History Month, and you let one of the token few black wrestlers you have go home. Oh, this is all wrong. I'm like this. If it was me on my job, I'd have been gone.
Well, I look at it like this, brother. If I was the boss and somebody grabbed me playing with me at the wrong time, ain't no telling what I would have did. You don't play on live TV. This is TV. This is live TV. So you don't play. This is strictly business, so you remain professional at all times.
Yeah, I wondered, too, if this had not aired on the network, would have been as big of an issue, because obviously people saw Vince McMahon being grabbed. Yeah, Vince, Frank right there just said that he saw, you know, somebody grab Vince, didn't realize who it was. You know, if this happens off camera, do you think the same result of a 90-day suspension comes up?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how Vince would have felt about it off camera. I mean, if it had to happen off camera, I believe it may have been a different situation. They may have been able to talk to Titus and say, hey, man, this is something you don't do. Don't do that no more. You know, be professional. But to do it on live TV, you know what I mean, that's just wrong. You don't play with this job. It's just wrong. I stayed there 15 years. I'm telling you, I know. You don't play around with this job. This is strictly business. Every minute of that TV time is money. That's what it's about with Vince. So you got to think about this, too. If you want to make money, you have to keep yourself in a position to make money. So don't do nothing stupid. And they were doing stuff with Titus. You know what I mean? He was on Raw and SmackDown every week. They got him out doing a lot of ambassador work. So they had plans for him. So you know what I mean? And he knew this. He knew this, what they were doing. But I think he just got carried away and just made a big mistake.
What do you think about his friend Batista, Dave Batista, saying to Titus on Twitter, he said something about he told Titus to ask for his release.
Well, I did see that too, and Batista, I'm real good friends with him. I met him before he ever became Batista, when he was in OVW, and he had a chance. I went down there to do some work for him, and he had a chance to pick me up and then him talk ever before he became Batista. And I said to him myself, and he'll tell you this, I said, brother, you're gonna be it. They're gonna use you. You're gonna be the next guy. And so me and Batista's always been buddies. So maybe it's just some heat that Batista has with Vince or something, or with the company, for him to make a statement like that. Because you got to think about this: you asking a guy to ask for his release, are you gonna pay his bills? Are you gonna take over his mortgage payments? Are you gonna start buying him groceries? Are you gonna start paying his car notes and stuff? So don't tell a guy to ask for his release unless you got a job for him. Maybe Batista has a job for him in acting. Maybe he's going to get him a job in films or something. I don't know, but that's something you don't say. I ain't going to tell nobody after they release, because I don't know how they live. I don't know what expenses they have. But I'm not going to be the guy to pay their bills. So you just, I don't agree with that.
So let me ask you this question when it comes to this situation. Do you think that this is going to be something that's going to keep Titus down, or do you think that Vince's be, when him and Titus finally talked about the situation, this would be something they can leave in the past and move forward with Titus and whatever push they have?
Well, yeah, I think this will move on. You know, Vince is like this, man. Vince is about making money. And if there's still a dollar left in Titus, then Vince is going to keep him there, and Vince is going to use Titus. You know what I mean? I think this will blow over. And you look at this. Look what the situation that happened between Vince and Bret Hart. Okay. After that, that died down. Bret Hart came back, worked for the company, and he still, I think, got a Legends deal. So they're still paying him. So, you know what I'm saying? I think this will just blow over. It's just people are just blowing it out of a portion. But I think this taught Titus a lesson. This will make a man out of him, you know what I mean? So when you come to work, you come to work, not to play.
What do you think long-term for Titus? You know, you've known him. I've seen him on television now. He's obviously a good talent, primetime players. Definitely has achieved a mid-card status. Do you ever see maybe Titus going to the next level? Do you think he's a guy that the brain trust in WWE will say, hey, he's very marketable, he's got the looks, he's got the mic skills, maybe he can go to the next level? Do you ever see him fitting into that category?
Yeah, I see him there, because he's still there. You know what I mean? Vince ain't going to just keep paying you his money and giving you a check every week if he doesn't have plans to get his money back. It's just that simple. So if he's still there drawing a paycheck, then there has to be something down the road for him. And I can see Titus, you know, being in a position where he may become the world champion one day. You know, I don't know, but I do see that happening. But Titus has to keep his head on straight and has to become a man, start acting like a man and not a kid. And let me throw this in here, too. And the same thing I felt about, and I know we're not on this subject, but I'm going to talk about Cam Newton and what happened with the Super Bowl. Cam Newton, I disagree with his rant, raving, you know, whatever he did, falling down on the field, acting like a kid, like a baby, having a temper tantrum. You know, that's just wrong. You know, if you lose the Super Bowl, you lose. My thing is this: there are losers and winners in this world. Okay, so Cam Newton, you have to understand that. So grow up and be a grown, you're a grown ass man. So act like it. I think he should have been the first person to walk over and to shake Peyton Manning's hand and congratulate him on that Super Bowl win and especially his retirement. Peyton Manning paved the way for this sport, but you know, he made it possible for Cam Newton to be where he is today. So, you know, I'm just saying, I just don't agree with what he did. And I think maybe after a while, Cam will understand he made a mistake too, and maybe he'll come around. But getting back to Titus, I do see them doing something with Titus, and I hope this, you know, with this situation that happened, I hope they could, I'm sure they will bury this, and Titus will move on to bigger and better things.
So, basically, if Titus had an axe for his release, more than likely WWE probably wouldn't have granted that release.
Well, it's like this, man. You know, Titus brought it all on himself. So I think if Titus had an axe for his release, and if that's what he really wanted, Vince would have gave it to him.
Well, if he asked for his release, I mean, that would be career suicide at this point. I mean, where do you go?
Why would you do that anyway? You did nothing.
Right.
You did nothing to ask for your release. You made a simple mistake. Okay, you got reprimanded for it. You got suspended for it. So do your suspension, think about what you did, and come back and become a better person.
You know, for that WrestleMania situation, too, I mean, there was no guarantee he would be on the WrestleMania card. A lot of times you see guys who have gotten a medium push, they don't end up on the WrestleMania card unless they throw them in the, Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Battle Royal? Well,
yeah.
You know, it's like this. You know, whatever position they put you in WrestleMania, it's good for you because that's a nice check you're going to get for WrestleMania. And plus, man, everybody in the world, that's what your dream is when you go to work with Vince. Your dream is to make it to WrestleMania. Once you make it there, brother, you did it all. You did it. You can't go no further than that. So I think, you know, Vince was very kind in reducing the suspension down to what he did, you know, now that maybe Titus can make WrestleMania, and if he's involved in it or in any way, then he'll be able to be on the show. So I think this will help Titus, and you know, I know Vince is looking at it in a different light, that, hey, I just want the guy to be respectful and be a good employee.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, too. If he gets his release, you know, is Batista going to get him a job in Hollywood? Because
yeah.
I mean, what are you going to go to, TNA? You going to go to Ring of Honor? You're not going to make any money there. So
No. Titus O'Neil, whether he knows it or not, he's in the best position in the world right now. Okay, he's got a good job. He's making a good paycheck. And ain't nobody harassing him and bothering him. So, I mean, how good can it get? You're on TV every week. You're out doing what you want to do. He likes kids. He loves to do stuff, you know, in the neighborhood. And he likes to give back. And that's the position that Vince put him in. And so I think he should be honored and be happy.
Teddy, you were talking about Cam Newton, and we put these guys on pedestals, and he's a great player. Cam Newton is, you know, he's on the verge of being one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. He takes the ball, and he gives them to kids, and everybody loves Cam, you know. It's very positive. They only lost one game all year. And then you see a situation where the guy loses, and he, like, pouts. He walks off from the press conference, and I think that one of the things that we lose in society today is it's an underlying thing, but it's still there. I mean, these guys are role models for other kids. So, yeah,
well,
it's great when Cam gives the football to a little kid. That's great, but here's a situation where he can be a role model, an example for people. Hey, you know, in life we win a lot, but sometimes we lose. And when we lose, we have to learn that, hey, we got beat today. A better team beat us today, okay? And Cam's 26. He'll be back. I mean, he'll probably win a couple Super Bowls in his career.
Bro,
you know, you have to remember that you're still a role model for people.
There's going to be another Super Bowl. It's just that simple. So, you know what I mean? You know, you don't worry about it. You know, you lose today, you win tomorrow. It's just that simple.
Of course, as Frank would say, the game was worked anyway, wasn't it, Frank?
I kind of agree with you, man, you know, because I don't know, you know, at the beginning of the game, when I first saw him, when that game started, he looked to me like he wasn't happy then, when it first started, before he even fumbled or did anything, so I'm looking at it like, well, does he already know the finish? So you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of like you, Frank. I just, you know, I'm not saying it, but I don't know, man.
Well, you know what? It's like this. It's no different than, you know, wrestling, right? I mean, it's Peyton Manning's last game, and he wants to have that final hurrah, that final you know, his final swan song. It's kind of like Hogan coming back and winning the belt from Triple H in 2002, the last time he'll ever be WWF champion.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you want Peyton to go out? What has he ever done to you? Why wouldn't you want him to go out like that? It ain't got nothing to do with him being white, black, or color. You know, the man is a tremendous football player. Just that simple. Right. It's going to happen for Cam one day. He's going to be in that position. He'll be in a position to retire or maybe have his last game. You know what I mean? So you got to put yourself in that position, too. Would you want anybody to be mad with you if you won and going into retirement? Would you want that kind of reception?
I tell you, Teddy, that one play in the first half where Cam throws the ball and the guy catches it and they say incomplete. So, okay, the coach challenges and says, hey, look at the replay. The guy caught it. The ball never hit the ground, right?
Yeah.
And they say it's still incomplete. I'm like, what am I watching here? What the hell is that? Incomplete.
Hey.
The ball never hits the ground. How can it be incomplete?
Hey, brother, I tell you, it's all about the dollar. That's all I can tell you.
And then, of course, that drive, they push Cam back, and he fumbles the ball in the end zone where, I mean, they're driving the ball. They're out midfield. I mean, what a big call that was.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that.
Yeah, I don't, like I said,
momentum.
I'm with Frank D, brother. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys, honestly. And I'm a big NFL fan. I'm sure you are, too. And, boy,
yeah.
You know, after last year with all this Deflategate with Tom Brady, and we know the Patriots have cheated in Super Bowls. They watch other people's practices illegally, and it all fits.
Yeah, they let that go. That all died down. I mean, whatever happened about the guy's cell phone.
Right.
You know, he destroyed his cell phone, and nobody never brought that up. Whatever happened about that?
Right.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just watch the game.
Sports.
I don't bet on it. It's just that simple. Don't bet.
It's sports entertainment.
There you go.
Exactly.
NFL is sports entertainment. There you go. That's what it is.
It's just that simple.
Yeah. Look how big the spectacle of the Super Bowl is.
Just like our business. Look at WrestleMania. It's the Super Bowl of wrestling.
You got Beyonce dancing around and Coldplay and all these guys. You know, it's the big thing.
Bruno Mars, all that, man. It's a show.
Exactly. You know, speaking of shows, I don't know if you saw Raw this week. Of course, that was one of the better things I've seen in wrestling in a long time. And it's sad that, you know, Daniel Bryan is hanging up the boots that, you know, we will never see him compete in the ring again. But for once, it wasn't an angle. Nobody interrupted. It was a chance for Daniel Bryan to say what he had to say and make a few, you know, funny comments that he did. And, you know, one more chant of yes, yes, yes. And it was one of the better things I've seen in wrestling in a long time. And I'm really glad, Teddy, that WWE really put him over here, because this was this was his swan song. He was fading out, and for once, rather than interrupting him or doing some sort of, you know, crazy angle to get heat on somebody, they put him over. They let him say what he wanted to say, and it was one of the best moments in wrestling I've seen in a long time.
I didn't see the whole show, but I did see bits and pieces. But I did see the ending there, where they the celebration, and I thought it was a great job too. I thought this was a great show. Daniel Bryan deserved every moment of what he got. You know, he's a nice guy. I had a chance to do some stuff with him on TV, on SmackDown and stuff. I enjoyed working with him. He had a great attitude. He never had any problem, you know, doing nothing with anybody. I had a chance to train with him a couple of times at the gym and stuff. So he was just as nice as he could be. I love Daniel, man. And so too bad that he's not going to be around to entertain the fans anymore. He's certainly going to be missed. But, you know, you got to look at a man's career, you know. You don't want to step in there and then be the end of you, you know. He's got a chance now to live his life and enjoy himself, you know. So let him do that, you know. Let him go out in a blazing glory, and I thought that was great. And, you know, good luck to Daniel. I'm pretty sure he'll come back in some kind of capacity. They'll find something for him to do.
It kind of sucks, you know, that it was the end for Daniel Bryan. Here's a guy that when he came to the WWE, he was on that NXT show. Then got moved to the main roster during the Nexus angle, then got released because of the mistake with Justin Roberts with the choking him with his tie. But then he comes back, and Daniel Bryan wasn't everybody's cup of tea, but at the same time, you liked his work in the ring. And then you saw the guy become the World Heavyweight Champion, and then the people just really got behind him, and that was just organic the way it happened. The whole yes movement started. And to see the guy go out and him to be so young, that's just
right.
it's just that's sad, man. You know, but his health is more important than going out there bumping around that ring.
Well, that's the same thing I felt about Edge too. I love Edge. He's a great guy too, you know, and he would certainly be a great asset to the roster right now. But you know, his health is more important. He can't take a chance of getting in there, taking one more bump, and then he may be out for the rest of his life. So it's the same thing with Daniel. You know, you got to take care of your health, and you got to make sure you know you don't harm yourself. And so I think if Daniel had to continue to wrestle, he may take a chance of getting hurt and been maybe paralyzed or been out for the rest of his life. So I think this was the best thing. He went out right.
It was odd, too, because they announced during Monday, during the day, there was a tweet, and I think WWE put a text message out that, you know, Daniel Bryan had decided to retire and wasn't part of the show. And everybody on my website, I know I saw a lot of comments saying, well, this is a work. You know, he's obviously not retiring. This will be an angle. And then to see it the way they put it on television, and for the fans to react the way they did, that was just, I mean, it's just one of those moments you'll never forget, the final swan song of Daniel Bryan.
Right, this is one that will certainly go down in history.
Yep. And I don't know, Frank, what do you see? Do you see Daniel Bryan continuing wrestling, or do you think he's done?
I think that there's a slim chance that he might come back and do something. I would advise against that if his health is as bad as he says it is, as far as everything going on with his brain. But I think that, you know, he's the type of guy that's he's still, even though if he can't compete in the ring, he'll still want to be in it. And I think that, you know, Daniel Bryan will probably end up being an agent or, trainer down at the Performance Center. That was rumored. Or maybe you put him on the announcer's desk. You know, maybe you put him down there at NXT or something, or you bring him up to one of the shows, like a SmackDown or something like that. But I still think that he will have a definite presence in WWE doing something.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with you there, man. Because I tell you one thing, he's good for ratings.
Absolutely. Even though now, you know, what Vince McMahon said today, Teddy, that the company is no longer built around ratings. Ratings really don't matter anymore. They're in a different age now with TV.
Well, that's good because they suck.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's paying attention to the ratings, but boy, they're just going down, down, down.
Well, he's not concerned.
Well, I'm glad because he'd be losing a lot of sleep right now.
Well, I you know, let me comment on that. I Vince, I'm pretty sure he knows a lot more about this than me, but my thing, I think ratings do matter. You know, I think ratings put money in your pocket. You know, if you got good ratings, you're going to get good sponsors, good advertisers. So, like I said, maybe Vince knows something that I don't know, but I think, in my opinion, I think ratings matter.
Let me ask you this question real quick, Teddy, since you say you think ratings matter. Do you think the fact that the WWE is PG now is having a big, you know, impact on the ratings, or is it just basically the creative is terrible?
Well, I don't think the creative is terrible. You know, creative is, you know, those guys have got a hell of a job to do that. I think the problem is that WWE doesn't have any talent. You know, right now, you know, you're using the same guys every week. And it's like watching a movie. You wouldn't continue to go to the movie and keep watching a rerun. So I think, you know, they just got to come up with some new guys. They got to get some of those guys that are down there in NXT that are capable of coming up and carrying the ball. And I think that there are some guys down there that I believe can do that. But it's just, you know, we got the same guys every week. And, you know, what can you do? You just can't put the same guys every week in everything. You know what I mean? You got to give the people something new. And you can tell that happened when the Dudleys came back. They've been gone for 7 years. They come back, man, they were bigger than life because people needed something fresh. They was wanting to see something fresh. They wanted to see them. So, like I said, I think that's the only problem they got. They just got the same guys right now, and they just got to get some new talent and, you know, try to get some of these guys over and, you know, get it to working again.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, how do you write a 3-hour show every week? And then do SmackDown too.
Well,
there's just so much television.
It's hard to write it because you got to write for the same guys. So
right.
You watch them on Raw, then you got to go watch the same guys on SmackDown too, basically. So you know what I mean? It's just, you know, they got to come up with some new storylines too for different guys. You know, I like Roman Reigns; he's great, got a great look, but he just got to get his mic skills up a little bit. And I think he needs to, you know, for him selling, you know what I mean? I saw him doing a thing with Vince where Vince was talking about his uncle and what he did to his family. And to me, if you want to make this real, you're talking about my family now. So it's time for me to look at you like, hey, man, now wait a minute, you done went too far. And I didn't see that in Roman's expression. My thing when I was GM, whenever I was humiliated, you could see my expressions on my face, you know, and I would let you know I didn't lie. I didn't have to say nothing. You could look at me and knew that it was getting to me. So little things like that, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, you don't have to talk. You can just do it with facials. So Roman, you know, he's going to be all right. I think if they, you know, get behind him, and they are, you know, I think, you know, he'll come out of that shell a little bit, get his mic skills up. He'll be okay. I like Dean Ambrose. I like him.
The Titty Master.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Roddy Piper.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Roddy Piper. If you go back and you kind of watch Piper back in his days, you know, and see some of the wild, crazy stuff he did, you know, you kind of didn't think about Dean, but he certainly reminds me of that. And he's going to be good, too. I like him, too, you know. You got Kevin Owens there. He's a big guy that I like, you know. I think he'll be fine. You know, you just got a lot of young guys there that you just got to try to get over. And like I said, these guys got to go out and do something themselves. You know, Vince and the writers created, they can't do it all. You know, you got to get out and do something too. So it's just that simple, man. So I think they're going to be all right, man. It's just, like I said, they got some new guys down in NXT. You know, I think they're going to bring them up. And so we'll just have to see what happens.
If they would offer you a position of a creative, maybe not necessarily a writer on a week-to-week basis, but maybe as an advisor, would that be something that would interest you?
Well, I would like to do that in one way, and in another way I wouldn't. You know, I mean, I've been there, and I've watched some of that stuff, some of the writers that presented to Vince sometime, and boy, if he doesn't like it, you know, you're going to get blistered. So I'd rather not be in that position, you know what I mean? I'd rather not have nothing to do with the writing or the creative, you know? If I'm going to do something, just like put me on camera. Let me be Teddy Long. That's what I can do. I'd rather, you know, be involved that way.
What's the perception of the guys backstage, the boys, when they see, you know, Vince will hire a guy from a television show or a soap opera or from the comic book world? Is there a negative feel for the boys when they look at these guys and say, well, you know, it's great that you know about television, but, you know, what do you know about wrestling and telling stories in the ring?
Well, you know, nothing the boys can say about that. You know, I've never heard any negative stuff from any of the boys about, you know, that part of it. But, you know, like I said, you just got to be able to deal with it. If they bring somebody in that don't know it, well, to give you a little case, I was there one time, they brought a writer in, and this was a black guy, brother. And they brought him in to be a writer, and he didn't even know who Booker T was.
Oh my God.
Okay, he walked up to Orlando Jordan and called him Booker T.
Oh, my God.
And he came in to write for us now, okay? So, you know, here's a guy that didn't even know who some of us was. We had a couple of girls there one time that came in. They didn't even know who Stone Cold Steve Austin was.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And they came in to write. You know, so I'm just saying, man, you know, but they, you know, they don't last long when they're like that. If you don't know about this sport, you ain't going to make it with Vince. You got to know what you're doing. So, like I said, I think, you know, it's going to be all right. You know, there's been no negative about the writers who they hire. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, you know. But like I said, when they're not good, they don't last long. They don't stay there long.
He didn't say, what does Booker T stand for?
Yeah, he didn't know who Booker T was. He was a black guy. How is he a black guy, Greg? You don't know who Booker T is.
Well, that's funny you say that, because I heard a story on a shoot interview. I forgot the guy's his name who did it, but basically there was a meeting going on when Vince announced that you probably were there, Teddy, when Vince announced that the company was moving to PG. And I guess Michael Tarver, who was part of Nexus, was at this meeting. Now,
I remember him.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know who he was, but he had been riding along. And I guess he asked Vince a question. And Vince says, that's a great question, Shelton. He thought he was Shelton Benjamin. So, he's not the only one. This writer's not the only one that's going to make that mistake.
Oh my gosh!
I look at Vince like this. Sometimes, you know, Vince didn't have his glasses on. He can't see without his glasses. So he probably Vince was probably at the end of the room there, wherever that meeting was. He was probably way out front and didn't see all the way back there, so Vince don't see very well.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing I can see. That's the only thing I can see that happening. I'm sure Vince knows Shelton and Michael Tarver. They didn't look nothing alike.
Yeah. That could be, but I heard all the records. They just busted up laughing.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, man, it is what it is.
Yeah.
This sounds like there's a big disconnect because, I mean, okay, you don't know who Booker T is, but wouldn't you, if I'm interviewing you to write for the WWE, wouldn't that might maybe pop up? And, you know, Booker's one of our top stars. What would you do with a guy like Booker T?
Yeah.
And then he comes into the back room area, and who's this guy? Orlando Jordan, he's Booker T, right?
Yeah, well, that's what the guy did. He walked right up to Orlando Jordan and called him Booker T. I was right there.
Gosh.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, where did this guy come from? But, you know, a lot of those guys, they just bring them in, you know, give them a trial basis, you know, see if, you know, what they can do. Because I tell you, another guy that was real good there, and that was Freddie Prinze's son. He was there, and he was a real good writer. He adapted to the wrestling business real quick, you know, and he didn't know anything about wrestling. He had never been involved in that, but he wrote some of my stuff. I had a chance to work with him. So he caught it. He got it right away.
Well, yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr., yeah.
You know, Frank, this is real talk. You don't get this on the other podcast.
No, you don't.
That's why they're hating on us.
Let them hate. Who cares?
Yeah, right. My thing with haters are fans in denial.
If you think you can do better than us, get your own show. Go for it.
It's just that simple.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that simple. If you can do better, then do better.
Right. I want to ask you, boy, I tell you, it's been a bad couple of weeks there for the Hart family. First, they confirmed, I think it was Smith Hart that confirmed that he talked to Brett, and they decided not to induct Owen Hart in the Hall of Fame. And then within, a couple of days, it was Smith Hart announced that he had cancer, and then Bret Hart came out and said that he had prostate cancer, which I understand he had his surgery yesterday. And, you know, we're thinking of you, Bret. Hopefully you pulled through that okay, and they got the prostate cancer out of you. But a tough couple of weeks for the Hart family, and I guess, you know, you worked with Bret, and I'm sure you probably know Smith over the years. Tough guy, and I think that we're all pulling for him, and I think, Teddy, he's going to take this cancer and put it in the sharpshooter.
Well, I tell you what, Bret Hart's a great guy. I enjoyed working with him, and the thing I think the good part for Bret now is technology. Back in the day, maybe 10 years ago, you know, he might have been in a world of trouble with that prostate cancer because they didn't have no cure and they didn't know what to do for it. But now they know what to do. They got technology and they know how to get rid of stuff, and they know how to heal people. So I think it's good for Bret that this did happen to him at this time, so he's able to get, you know, some medical treatment and get rid of it. But like I said, man, you know, we just don't know, you know, what's inside. We don't know what's going on inside our bodies. All we know is what's happening on the outside. So I advise people, you know, that if you're not having, you know, prostate problems, and then, you know, there are supplements that they sell that you can take, you know, that you can help your prostate, you know. But, I mean, I take supplements all the time. I'm a strong believer in them. And there are things that you can take out there that can help you, you know. I'm not going to say it's going to stop you from having prostate cancer if that's what's going to happen, but it certainly may slow it down.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, the thing to do is to get tested on a regular basis. Don't just assume.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, too. Go to your doctor, get a prostate exam and stuff, and find out what's going on with you. Because I found out, brother, you with that blood pressure, I found out you don't know what's happening on the outside, but, you know, and on the inside. You can take care of the outside, but you just don't know what's going on, man. One time, my blood pressure was up to like in the 200s, and I had no idea about it. And I didn't feel nothing. I wasn't dizzy, didn't have no problem. And my doctor told me, he said, from all the stress, you know, on the road, driving and not resting good, that my blood pressure had stayed high so long till my body had adjusted to it.
Wow.
Wow.
And so I thank God that I'm still alive, because at that time I could have had a stroke or anything. At any time I could have dropped. Because I had a friend of mine that you may remember him from back in the day, Rocky King. He was back in NWA days. He was with Pistol Pez Wildly and all that crew. Rocky King had a stroke in his sleep here maybe 6 months ago, And brother, I mean, and it was because of his blood pressure. He didn't have no idea how high his blood pressure was. But right now, brother, he's on dialysis. He's looking for a kidney. You know, he's alive and moving around and, you know, going to his doctor's, driving and everything. But the guy's in bad shape. He has to go to the dialysis every day, and he's trying to find a kidney. So I encourage anybody, man, you know, get a prostate exam, check your blood pressure, you know, find out what's going on with your health, because you could drop out, man, and you don't have any idea what happened.
Amen, brother. And, you know, go to your doctor now before this Obamacare kicks in and you won't be able to get a doctor. I don't know. You put everybody in the system that's got access to medical care, and there's not as many doctors as you think. And, gosh, the doctors around me in my area, they're like retiring, saying, you know, I'm not going to deal with all this Obamacare and all this paperwork and all this garbage. So if you have a physician right now, you know, go to him because he may not be there tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right, man. You know what I mean? And like I said, you got to think of some things, you know, yourself, too. You know, they got these blood pressure machines that they sell in different drugstores and Walmart and stuff. Go buy you one of those things. You know, I got one right now. Start checking your blood pressure every morning, every day, and just see exactly, you know, what's going on with you. So if it's high, you can get started on it, and you can know what to do about it. And they do have some natural supplements you can take, too, for your blood pressure, you know. They got a thing called Hawthorn Berries. You can look it up on the internet. It's great for high blood pressure. So it's some things you can start taking before it gets too bad.
Amen. And, you know, I mentioned, too, is the Owen Hart situation. There was some rumblings that maybe this would be the year they put Owen in, and I guess it got a little bit of momentum, and it got to the point where, you know, a couple phone calls were made, but in the end they decided not to. I don't know, Teddy, are they ever going to put him in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't know either, man. I have no idea what happens with that Hall of Fame stuff. You know, I'm pretty sure it's Vince and maybe Triple H's decision who they want to put in. So I don't, for them, how they make decisions on who they want to put in there, I just don't know, you know. But I certainly would believe Owen Hart certainly deserves that.
You know, Teddy, I want to ask you about Kofi Kingston. You were around Kofi Kingston when you were in the WWE. And what's your thoughts on his progression from where you started up until where he is right now, being the hottest act with the New Day?
Well, Kofi, I like him. I remember Kofi when he first started. He come out of OVW, and then we did some stuff down in Deep South Wrestling when they had Deep South, and that's where I met Kofi. And at the time, I saw him working in Deep South, and Kofi will tell you this, if you ever get a chance to talk to him, I told him right this way, like I told a lot of guys, I said, man, you're going to be good. They're going to use you. I said, that, just keep doing what you're doing. And so he finally made it over to the WWE, and Kofi's a nice guy, man. I got no problem with him, and a lot of the guys, I mean, you know, he had a little heat sometimes with some of the boys because Kofi had a tendency to hurt people. But he didn't mean it, you know what I mean? He just, you know, just things just happened. But I guess he was just having bad luck there, and all of a sudden he'd do something and hurt somebody. So a lot of guys didn't want to work with him. But over the years, you know, that kind of smoothed out, and Kofi learned to work a little bit better. So I think he's got his skills and stuff down now. And I'm happy to see him in the position that he's in. He's been there a long time. You know, he's had a good run, so, and he's still there. So, you know, Kofi's going to be all right.
And, Teddy, I'm sure you probably heard about this, especially being on social media. Tammy Sitch, Sonny, of course, in WWE Hall of Fame now, and she put up her ring. Apparently she was trying to sell the ring. We've actually seen a couple of those Hall of Famers say, heck with these rings, I'm just going to sell the rings. We know Abdullah the Butcher was trying to sell his ring. But she put her ring up for sale, and then the person that came forward that really wanted the ring was Vivid Entertainment, which, of course, is the adult films, and she did an adult film. And, boy, she goes crazy there in that social media. Talk about social media and any kind of flack that she gets. I mean, she gives it right back to the readers or their fans out there. And I don't know, Teddy, what's your thoughts on, you know, Tammy, A, you know, selling her ring, and B, entering the adult film business?
Well, I saw her a couple of times. I didn't really know her. She never even spoke to me. You know, I walked right by her. She never said one word to me. So she was always one of these people to me, like on the high hog or something, you know, maybe thought she was better than anybody else. So I don't really know that much about her, but I wouldn't have sold my WWE Hall of Fame ring. I mean, golly, how many people has the opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame? Number one, you get that opportunity to get there, and then they give you this nice ring. I mean, that was something that I would want to treasure for the rest of my life. But, you know, some people, I guess, you know, they're not working, they're not doing no indies, and they got no money, they broke. So I guess when you're broke like that, you got no alternative but to sell something that you know you can probably make some money with. And so that's the only thing I can tell you. She's probably broke, needed the money, and so she didn't care about the ring, which showed me that she didn't care about being in the Hall of Fame either. She just went there for the ring and for the paycheck.
Yeah, I mean, do you think, though, simply because of Triple H's comments a few months ago on the Stone Cold podcast on the WWE Network, they asked Austin asked him about China going into the Hall of Fame. We all know the story about Triple H and China, so we don't need to rehash that here. But Triple H, you know, says that it's a very delicate situation because China, if you look her up, if a 9-year-old looks her up on the internet, you're going to see all the porn stuff that she's done. Well, wouldn't that same thing attest to Tammy Sitch? All the stuff that she's doing right now, I mean, she's actually in the Hall of Fame. She sold the ring. She's doing adult movies. You look up Tammy Sitch on there, or Sonny, you're going to see all these naked photos show up on the internet. So, I mean, is there a double standard there?
Well, I don't think it's a double standard. I think it's just that, you know, they just pick people that they want to put in the Hall of Fame, and they just put them in there, you know, whatever the background is or whatever they do. Maybe it didn't seem like it was a bad thing what China did or what Tammy Sitch is doing. I don't know, but I just don't see it being a double standard. I think, you know, sometimes these people, they put them in the Hall of Fame, you know, they for one reason, and then they go out and do something else. So it's just hard for me to speak on that because I just really don't know. And my thing is this, some of these people they put in there, I don't even know how they got in there.
Amen, brother.
Okay, so I'm just being honest with you, man. Some of these people, you know, I just don't even know how they got in the Hall of Fame. That's just my opinion, you know, but that ain't my call. I'm pretty sure somebody probably say the same thing about me. Well, I don't know why they put Teddy Long in the Hall of Fame. You don't deserve to be there.
Well, then they're crazy if they say that, but...
Well, you know, but they got them out there. They you got the haters out there, so, you know, you just have to just, you know, feed them out a long-held spoon. That's what my grandmama used to say. That I never will forget that.
Yeah, there's no double standard here, Frank. Tammy Lynn Sitch decides to do adult films after she's in the Hall of Fame, so that's different because China has done the adult films already, so we can't put her in because... She's already in the adult film business, but, you know, Tammy Lynn Sitch decided, you know, years later she's, you know, broke and needs the money and decides to do an adult film. So there's no double standard here, Frank.
So it had nothing to do with the situation with Stephanie and Triple H with China.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's, I don't believe so. I believe if they thought that it would be helpful for them to put China in the Hall of Fame, I'm pretty sure they would do that. They would do that. Because if they felt like it was best for business.
Yeah, I think the thing we got to keep straight here, this is not a legitimate Hall of Fame.
Oh, well,
I mean, when you sit around and you decide, oh, we want this guy in, we don't want this guy in, or this guy doesn't have much of the credentials, but, you know, we can book him for the flight, and he'll come up and do the show and be there for the weekend. And I mean, there's so many guys that really belong in that Hall of Fame that's not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, we had the Honky Tonk Man on. The greatest intercontinental of all champions, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Well, so, I don't know how true this is, but I did hear this rumor that at the time they wanted to put Honky Tonk in the Hall of Fame, they called him up and they wanted to fly him up and they wouldn't get him a first-class ticket, and that's why he didn't come. He wanted a first-class plane ticket.
Well, as I recall, Frank, I believe they wanted him for the whole week.
Yeah.
And of course, he already had some commitments for the week. And then they wanted him to sign a no-compete for, what, 90 days? That after he does the Hall of Fame, he can't go on any independent shows, he can't do shoot interviews, he can't make personal appearances, and it's like, hey, this is what I do. I'm an independent wrestler now. I'm independent.
Yeah, I'm not on the contract to you guys anymore. Yeah. You're not going to pay me every week to pay my bills. I got to get out here and hustle these indies so I can pay my bills. So, that's what I call a double standard.
Yeah. I think he had like a Comic-Con or something during the week. And, hey, we got a Comic-Con during the week, but no, we need you for the whole week. It's like, for the whole week? It's only a weekend.
I don't think I would have did that either, you know, especially if I'd have had some commitments, and especially if they wasn't offering me no contract or no way for me to pay my bills after 90 days, you know, now what do? I got no money coming. So you got to live out here, man. You know what I mean? If you ain't saved your money, if you ain't got yourself involved in something, you got to pay your bills. So you got to make money. So I can understand, Huggy. I wouldn't have did that either.
The last time we had you here on Gerrick.net, you mentioned that you had some type of talks with Global Force Wrestling and Jeff Jarrett. Do you have any update on that situation?
No, I don't have any update on it. I think he's just blowing smoke up my ass. You know, he didn't want me. I called him back. He told me some stuff when it was getting started. Then when I did call him back, he told me he didn't have anything for me. So, you know, a lot of these guys got the point that they think I'm too old to be on to work for them. I don't understand that. I don't know what age has to do with a person if he can do his job. So I don't get that. So like I said, I never heard nothing else from him. So and then maybe the thing is, you know, maybe some of the guys that he's got working for him, you know, you don't have to pay him a whole lot of money, and I'm not going to come in and work for that little bit of money. And maybe they already know that, but other than that, maybe probably just don't even want me. So it's just that simple. I haven't heard anything from him.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, Teddy, because we haven't heard anything either. And I'm talking about us wrestling fans as it relates to Global Force Wrestling getting a television deal or what the deal is with the whole Global Force Wrestling promotion. Other than they did the deal with TNA last summer, and Jeff Jarrett was on their shows. But other than that, I mean, they did a couple of tapings in Las Vegas, and they were shopping around the Amped TV show that they did, and they can't find a home for it on the network. So, I mean, I was talking to Steve about it. Why don't they just, you know, maybe reach out and see if Netflix might want to pick it up or something?
Well, then another thing too, man. You know, they got a lot of guys that are working for them, and see, in this wrestling business, it's a game. And so they'll tell all these guys stuff that they're going to, you know, I mean, they'll promise them a whole bunch of stuff. Hey, we're going to get rolling. We've got a TV deal. We're going to start on TV, blah, 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 blah. And we're going to make you this and we're going to make you that. And it never happens. But that's just what the promoters do. That's just what this business is all about. But they bring you in for that cheap money. Some of those guys may not be getting no money. They may just be coming working, you know, to try to help the guy until he gets on his feet, you know, and, you know, he'll promise them, well, when we get rolling, you know, I'll make up for that. So you just have to watch. You have to watch promoters, man. They're ruthless.
Well, maybe Jeff Jarrett doesn't have the clout he thinks he did, or maybe he lost some credibility with TNA. I mean, essentially they're a carbon copy of TNA. They're using the same talent TNA is using, and so, you know, here is TNA renegotiating their deal or getting from Destination America to Pop. And what do you have to offer? You're offering us the same thing that TNA is offering us. Well, TNA is already an established brand. Maybe it's not a high-profile brand, but we know what TNA is. We've seen it. They've run pay-per-views. They've had, you know, Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff on the show. So, yeah, let's put TNA on the show. Because, honestly, in today's climate where, you know, TNA can switch networks every couple of years and Jeff Jarrett can't get a TV deal, I think that might be a pretty big indictment on Jeff Jarrett's status right now.
Yeah, well, that may be true. I don't know. I mean, you know, like I said, it takes money to run, and maybe, you know, he ain't got all the backers that he thought he had, you know, for his money people. So maybe that may be the problem too. He may be waiting on some money, you know, to try to, you know, get some more money to get some stuff done. You know, you can't get on TV for free. You gotta have money to run. So that might be it too. You know, some of the backers may back out and he just don't have the money that he thought he had. But, you know, they're still running, so that's all I can say.
Yeah, at least for now, they're running. So.
Well, you're right, at least for now.
I want to ask you, too, the time that Karma was in the WWE, of course, Awesome Kong in TNA, she's had, you know, she was on television, she was getting this push, and then she announced, she was pregnant, and then she was gone, and then she resurfaced in Indie Feds, and now back to TNA, and she had a little incident with Rebe Sky, who is Matt Hardy's wife. I just wondered, you know, from your experience, you know, what's going on with her? It seems like she gets these pushes, and then all of a sudden something just happens to snap with her, and she fades away.
Well, I met her when she came to WWE. I don't really know that much about her, too, but she always seemed to be nice. I spoke to her and talked to her, you know, a couple of times. She's always seemed to be a nice person. So I just don't know what's really going on with her. Maybe she ain't a people person. Maybe she just don't get along with people. But my thing was with her is when she came to the WWE, they had big plans for her, you know, and they were going to do some stuff with her, and they put a lot of money into her. So for you to already know what these people are going to do with you and putting all this money into you, trying to, you know, get you going, give you a big push, and you go out and you get pregnant. So what is, you know, I don't want to knock the pregnancy. I don't want to say something bad about that, but I'm just saying, you know what's going to happen. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to, you know, you're going to become a big star now. So why would you go out and get pregnant and you know these people have invested all this money in you and you know you let him down. So I just don't know what she's thinking either. And as far as Reba Sky and her, whatever that problem was there, I don't know what happened. You know, I just think Kong is one of those persons that, you know, she just don't take no shit. So that's all I can say about that.
Yeah, in fact, excuse my French here, but I've always been told that she's batshit crazy, that she has these episodes.
That could be true, because I never, like I said, she was up there for a while, but I never did work close to her, you know, never did, you know, she didn't stay around long enough, I don't think, for anybody to really, you know, meet her, or anybody to really know, you know, what she was all about. But my thing was, like I said, when to get pregnant on the guy, he done put all his money in you, you know, what are you thinking? You know, make some money, build that money up, you know, now go home and have a baby, so now you're able to take care of that baby. You got a lot of money now, you're able to get that baby the right attention and, you know, whatever else, whatever it needs, you know, you got to have money to do these things. So when you're put in a position to get money, why would you do something to stop you from getting it? I don't get that.
And then how well did you know Axel Rotten?
Axel Rotten, I met him way back in the day before he even started with ECW, man. I met him, and he was doing a lot of indie stuff, and I really enjoyed him. He was a nice guy, too. I hate what happened to him, you know. He just had those demons, you know, like a lot of other guys. They had demons, but Axel was a real nice guy, man, and he's certainly going to be missed. I liked him.
All right, so, Teddy, here's a question I've always wanted to know the answer to, and maybe you can shed some light on it. Why do you feel that there's never been a prominent black person to have a promotion here in the United States? I mean, we've seen black guys have promotions, little indie companies like Booker T has this, you know, Reality of Wrestling down in Texas, but how come on a national level there's never been a black promoter?
Well, I think the answer to that question is you got to have money. And I don't think that any black, black guys out there that wanted to get themselves involved in professional wrestling. There are some, you know, black movie stars out there, people that got money that could make this happen. That, like I said, they did have a black organization that was starting up that was on BET at one time, and I think the comedian and actor Monique had something to do with that. She was part of that company, but I think Rocky Johnson had something to do with it too. So, but I don't know what happened there, but they tried to start and then they folded. So, like I said, the only reason I think a black man hasn't been in charge of a major company is because nobody's really approached a black person that with money to get involved in professional wrestling. And also, you got to be able to hire the people that know what they're doing to make the company successful. So, and I don't think black people have just involved themselves in wrestling enough to really want to be a part of it. I like what Booker's doing down in Texas, down there with Reality of Wrestling, and I think that's going to go over big. He certainly put a lot into it. He's got a lot of good talent down there, and so I think he's going to really be successful with his organization, and I certainly hope so. But I just think black people, they just ain't got involved in it because it takes a lot of money to get this thing off the ground, and so ain't nobody want to put no money up.
So basically, you kind of need like Dr. Dre to exactly.
Yeah, you need somebody like him, or Ice Cube, somebody like him, somebody with money. But you got to sit down and draw a plan out and show these guys that, well, okay, well, if you put up $1 million in this, you know, how am I going? You know, here's how you can get your money back. Here's what we got to have. Here's what we got to do. Because you got to have money to bring in wrestlers to pay them, and in order to make the company work, you got to bring in some guy that has a name. So you got to be able to pay these guys. You know what I mean? To get them to get you started. So it's just a big thing. I'm doing some stuff now myself with an independent company in Mobile, the Alabama Wrestling Federation, and I'm just basically doing with the talent that we already have. You know, we'll bring in a guy every now and then to help us out. But I'm trying to show the people that we got guys right here that can be stars. All we got to do is just get them and use them right and get the people to know them. That's what TV is all about. They put you on TV every week, Frank D, you'll be the hottest man in the world. You walk out on Raw, SmackDown every week, you'll be a big star. So that's basically all it's about. It's about being on TV and the way that they use you on TV.
All right, gotcha.
Frank D on Raw. Wow.
I love that. I could see Frank D walking out right now. Hold on a minute, players. I can see that.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I've actually always wanted to be in the business, but you know, it just doesn't seem to be working out that way as far as like getting in the ring competing. I would like to work behind the scenes, to be honest with you.
Well, to be honest with you, Frank, you're already in the business, and you're doing a hell of a job.
I appreciate that, Teddy.
Yeah, you ain't got to be in the ring, okay? You ain't got to be in the ring to be a part of this. So what you're doing now is certainly a big part of the wrestling business. Just think if you guys weren't doing what you're doing now, where would you be?
I'd be at home complaining and bitching to my fiance about wrestling.
Exactly. So you're busy with the podcast, and you guys are doing a hell of a job. Hey, man, you're coming up on 20 years. What can I say?
You know you're something, Frank, when there's Frank D. haters out there.
Oh, yeah. Now you got some haters. you're doing great.
Yeah, and I don't really give a damn about being hated, to be honest with you.
Well, that's what I say, man.
I actually like it.
Yeah, that's right. You don't worry about it, man. Everybody ain't gonna like you. It's just that simple.
Yeah, exactly. And we've taken flack from people who listen to the Girl Report podcast, and I take flack from people who listen to the Raw Deal podcast, and I don't really give a shit, to be honest with you. My whole thing is that when you have your own podcast and you've done what I've done as far as podcasting goes, then you can talk to me about something. Until then, shut the fuck up.
Right. Well, like I said, your thing is this. Anytime somebody give you any problem, all you got, hey, coming up on 20 years, player. That's all I got to say.
Right.
Just that simple. We coming up on 20 years. Have a good day.
Exactly.
We must be doing something right?
Jeez. Yeah, it'd be around 20 years, brother. I'm telling you right now, that's an accomplishment there in itself.
It can be a struggle at times, that's for sure.
Well,
that's part of the life.
Life is a struggle.
Yeah.
That's part of life, man. Ain't nothing going to come easy. You got to get out there and work for it.
I tell you, you know, when there was that boom and there was the Attitude Era, and then it was, you know, Vince buying WCW, and it was everybody was talking what's going to happen to ECW. But, you know, recently in the last several years, there's just not as many major stories anymore. They're just, the news has kind of fizzled out. TNA has never really made a mark in this business, and Ring of Honor is, you know, unfortunately on a lower scale. I mean, they're just not as high profile as WWE, and I mean, all the news really is WWE.
these guys are not thinking. You know, a lot of them, and I'm not, you know, and I'm not trying to blow my own horn, man, but these guys are not thinking. If I walked out on TNA or if I walked out on Ring of Honor, you're going to tell me that I can't help these people? You're going to tell me that people wouldn't want to see what I'm going to do with TNA or what I'm going to do with Ring of Honor? You're going to tell me people wouldn't want to see that? But they're not thinking like that. You know, they're sitting back thinking, well, you know, we don't want him. So I don't worry about them. I don't want them either. If they don't want me, I don't want them either. I'm just doing what I'm doing and right now, and I'm having a great time.
Well, we know that TNA is run by a bunch of horse asses.
Well,
and I tell
you
what, if WWE is hiring writers, they don't even know their talent's names. There seems to be a disconnect with them as well.
Right. Well, that happened, you know, that did happen back in the day, but I think they straightened that problem out. I mean, I was there after all those guys got, the girls and the guy that didn't know anybody got, you know, they left and got them out of there. But the writers that they started bringing in after then, they knew who everybody was. You know, like I said, they had to find out what they were doing, too.
But Teddy, you have to admit, I mean, there are a lot of your friends that have worked in this business who are at home now that have drawn money for Vince in the wrestling business over the years. They're sitting at home. They could use a paycheck. And here's Vince. He goes out and he hires guys from the entertainment world and all these shows on USA Network and comic books. And why is it so hard for Vince to hire wrestling talent, wrestling personalities, people that's been in the business, people that's been in the car rides like you've been, who's been traveled all around the country, that, you know, broke their teeth, you know, and broken their butts entertaining fans. Well, why is it so hard for Vince to say, boy, I mean, I can imagine the numbers, the phone numbers in his phone book. I mean, people that he could call up tomorrow and say, yeah, you know, I need some help with creative, and I need some help coaching this guy. I need some help with some storylines here. I got all this television here, and these entertainment writers are, I mean, look at my ratings, 2.2, 2.6. I mean, I used to get 5.0s and 6.0s, and I used to brag about it all the time, and now I don't even care about ratings. Well, yeah, because your ratings are in the toilet. I mean, you have to admit, there seems to be a disconnect when there's so many, there's a plethora of wrestling talent, personalities, legends who could come in and make a big difference tomorrow, and yet we continue on with these entertainment writers.
Well, I wish I could answer that question. You're exactly right, you know. But I think basically what they do now, I guess with the guys that they have there, I guess they go to them for the wrestling aspect of it, you know. Arn Anderson is still there. You know, he's great talent. You know, he knows what's going on. You got Mike Rotunda that's there. You know, he knows what's going on. So you got a lot. You got John Laurinaitis, you know. He's there. He's still behind the scenes. So he's got people there that know the wrestling part of it, and, you know, why these other, you know, the writers from the entertainment world come in, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But, you know, Vince is involved in WWE films, too. So this may be a Hollywood thing. I just don't know. I can't answer.
Well, there, you know, I think it all boils down to the fact that WWE is, at the end of the day, an entertainment company. Vince has always said that they're not a wrestling company. They make movies. So
there you go.
That's pretty much what it boils down to. But the writers that he hires, I mean, my God.
Well, they come and go. I've watched them come and go. I think the guys that the real troopers there, you know, Dave Kapoor, you know, he's still there. He's been there a long time, you know. And you got Brian Ward. He's one of the top writers. Ed Kowski, I think he's still around. So those guys have been there ever since they came when I was there. So those guys are doing pretty good, but they need help.
They need a lot of help.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know. To change the subject real quick, I don't know if you want to divulge who you're supporting for president for 2016 here. I just wonder what your thoughts on, you know, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump, who's out there and doing real well for the GOP. I don't know. Your thoughts on him, you know, looks like he's going to get the Republican nomination, and at least he's going to be on the final ballot.
Well, you know, I think that what happened with Donald, you know, he came in at the right time. You know, he's in the right time at the right place. You know what I mean? I don't really think he took it serious at first about becoming president until he finally got out there and he saw, you know, where he was drawing all these people. So his team, I probably looked at that and said, hey, shit, Donald, we can win this thing. Let's get serious. So, you know, I haven't decided who who I'm going to vote for right now. You know, I'm still listening to all the rhetoric, you know, and all the bickering and all this, you know, they're mad going back and forth. It's just sad the way they keep slandering each other, you know, to become president of the United States. Like I heard Marco Rubio, his whole thing is, well, Obama ain't did this. Well, quit worrying about Obama. Obama's on the way out. It's time for somebody else. So tell me what you're going to do for me. I already know what Obama done did. He on the way out now. But what are you going to do if you become president? Let me know that. So quit harping so much on what Obama has done. Everybody know that. He's been in there for 8 years. They know what he's done and what he hasn't done. So tell me more about what you're going to do to be better than Obama.
What do you think of Donald Trump personally? I mean, I'm sure you've met him.
Well, I like Trump. I had a chance to meet him. I like him, man. He's a businessman. He's sharp. You know, he didn't become a millionaire, by being stupid. So I think, you know, I like him. I think if he becomes president, I believe he'll do a good job. And some of the stuff I think he's saying, you know, like these walls and all this different stuff, there's some of this stuff that he know he can't do. But if he's playing to the base, he knows that's what people want to hear. That's how people win elections. They tell people stuff that they want to hear. So I think he'll be good. I think if he makes it, he'll probably change his mind on some of that stuff and do the right thing about it. But right now, you know, he's in the lead. And like you said, he'll probably get the GOP nomination.
Yeah, unless they come up with some sex scandal or something. It sure looks like
he's
the guy.
Yeah, well, so far they haven't been able to come up with nothing on him yet. So, you know, right now he's looking pretty good.
Exactly. And I wanted, before we wrap with you, I wanted to ask you about the leaked WWE Hall of Fame list for this year. I don't know if you've heard some of these names. I know Frank has talked about it on his podcast, but I'll just get your opinion on a couple of people. Obviously, Jacqueline, who I definitely think belongs in the Hall of Fame, a great talent, very underrated wrestler, in my opinion. And some of you may know pretty well as well, The Godfather.
Well, yeah, I talked to him about 2 weeks ago, and he told me that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. Godfather certainly, I believe he, you know, and I know that he deserves it. He's done a great job while he was there, so I feel that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Jacqueline, you know, that was kind of a surprise to me. You know, I didn't ever think that they would even call Jacqueline, you know what I mean, because she hadn't, you know, didn't do a whole lot. She was a great wrestler. You know, great competitor and everything, but she didn't do a whole lot for the wrestling business, in my opinion. So, you know, it was a surprise to me when I even heard that. But, you know, if that's their choice and if that's who they feel like they want to put in there, then that's their deal. You know, go with it.
What do you think, Frank? Charles Wright and Jacqueline before Teddy Long?
Jacqueline, yeah. I mean, she was a women's champion. She was wrestling men in WCW way before China was doing it. So, I mean, yeah, I can see that. But Charles Wright, nothing against the Godfather, but I just don't see Hall of Fame. I mean, I saw the guy in the WWF. He was Papa Shango. And then he came back. He was Kama, the Supreme Fighter Machine. Then Kama Mustafa with the Nation of Domination. And then he really got over with the Godfather. And then they stopped that, and he became the Good Father. I mean, it's not my decision to who goes in the Hall of Fame or who doesn't, you know. But it's just, I would think that it would have been a much stronger class. I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, congratulations to the guy for going in there, but to me, it's just not Hall of Fame. But, I mean, I don't work for the company, so my opinion doesn't mean shit.
You know, I think it's such a center of attention because it is really the only visible Hall of Fame, and there's other Hall of Fames out there, the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame's out there, and St. Louis Hall of Fame's out there. I mean, there's other Hall of Fames, but, of course, nothing gets as high profile, not even the TNA Hall of Fame. Hard to believe they have one, but, I mean, this is what everybody talks about is the WWE Hall of Fame, and I've been very critical of the Hall of Fame because, I mean, like Teddy has said, Vince sits down with Triple H, and it's like Triple H says, who do you want in? Who do you not want in? Can you think you can get Bruno this year? Maybe we get Bruno. You know, we've severed relations with him over the years. Now, maybe this year we can get him. Okay, you get him. This guy belongs in, this guy doesn't belong. I mean, there's no legitimate way for them to decide who's in and who's out. I mean, there's no doubt to me, Frank, a guy like Teddy Long with his career, his longevity in the business, that he belongs in the Hall of Fame before Jacqueline or Charles Wright. And again, I think Charles Wright had a great gimmick with The Godfather back in the day. It was entertaining, but was it Hall of Fame worthy?
But that doesn't matter, though, because like you just said, there is no criteria as what makes
no.
you a Hall of Famer. So what I'm saying is, like, yeah, I don't see the Godfather as a Hall of Famer, but those people in charge at WWE, they say, yeah, we do. So that's what I mean by that. I mean, but like you said there, I mean, it's the only visible Hall of Fame that we have. And, you know, Teddy Long here for all of a sudden, he's done in the wrestling business. Absolutely, he deserves to go to Hall of Fame. And I think inducted by the first black WCW World Champion, Ron Simmons.
Yeah, well, I understand where you guys are coming from. But, you know, like I said, you know, that's not my call. But I'll put it to you like this. I worked there for 15 years. I never caused that company any problems. Okay, I never did nothing nowhere you ever don't cause that company to be on the news or embarrass them. I never got a call. Also, there are people there that got legend deals. There are people there that have legend deals that have never even worked for the company. I don't have one. Nobody never called me and nobody never offered me one. But I don't worry about that. You know, that's them. You know, that's their money, and that's what they, you know, they give it to whoever they want to give it to. So if they never call me for the Hall of Fame or they never call me for a living deal, I don't mind. I'm going to keep on living, man. Life goes on. So, but I'm just throwing that out there to you. You know what I mean? They never call me for nothing.
Well, I think the very first time we had you on, I said something about the Hall of Fame, and I think you said something like, well, if they call me, I'm not sure I'd even take it. And I remember saying, well, Teddy, if they call you, you got to go. You got to accept. Because at the end of the day, it's also for the fans. It's not just for the talent. I mean, that Hall of Fame ceremony has become a big piece of WrestleMania weekend. So, you know, for myself and Frank, who are big Teddy Long fans, and knowing that you're basically at the end of your career, it's that one time when we can see you on stage, and if Ron Simmons is the inductor, who makes a lot of sense to go up there and say a few words about you, and here's your chance to, you know, thank all the people that you want to thank and thank all the fans for that, you know, for the great career that you've had. That's the one thing that we get as fans is that's it. That's the end of your career. You get the ring. You get the chance to speak one more time in front of the fan base out there, the WWE Universe, as they like to catalog it all the time. And I mean, that's all we have as fans is that Hall of Fame, and it's not a physical Hall of Fame, but it's still something that represents what should be a legitimate Hall of Fame.
Well, like I said, that would follow me for the rest of my life, and I would certainly be honored and appreciate it. You know, like I said at first, when we talked about it, I didn't tell you what I'd take it or not, because I'm just kind of looking at it, you know, like, golly, you know, what is wrong with me? You know what I mean? Why don't I get a call? What is the problem? You know what I mean? What did I do there that's so bad? You know, and I can't figure it out. I did nothing. So, you know, I just don't know, man. So that's why I just, you know, I chalk it up as a loss. I don't worry about it, man. If they don't call me, fine. If they do, I'll certainly be on it, and I'll be happy to go. But I ain't sitting around waiting on it.
Well, you know, and a lot of people don't actually realize the impact that, you know, Teddy has had on the wrestling business. I mean, you go back to the NWA days when Teddy was one of the first, you know, heel referees, when he, you know, was referee, and then he broke into, you know, being a heel and then went on to be a heel manager. A lot of people don't know that you actually managed Dan, you know, Dan Spivey and Sid Vicious, Skyscrapers, and you managed The Undertaker back in the day when he was Mean Mark. That's why Skyscrapers. And then all the stuff that you did, I mean, you managed the first black World Heavyweight Champion. So, I mean, you had a hell of an impact, and I think WWE could really, you know, build something around it. I mean, it's just not, and I know what some people out there will say, oh, you guys are just kissing his ass because he's on your show. No, we're basically stating facts here. We don't kiss anyone's ass. We state facts. And the truth of the situation is that you got a guy here that deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. If the criteria puts it there, he deserves to be in there. If you can put in managers like a Mr. Fuji, who is deserving, you can put in Theodore R. Long.
Right, and like I said, and let me, you know, say this too, along with you, Frank. If you were kissing my ass, you guys were kissing my ass, I wouldn't even come on the show, because I don't want that. Okay, I don't want nobody kissing my ass. I don't need all that. I come on this show because you guys have always been real. You've always been real with me. You've always treated me great and respect, and I appreciate that. You guys don't have no reason to kiss my ass. Who the hell am I? You know? So I'm just saying, man, if people think that way, it's wrong. I just, like I said, I just appreciate everything you guys have done. And anybody that has been on this show, they should have take the time to wish you guys, you know, to thank you and appreciate what you've done for them. And I don't know how many guys may have called you back and thanked you for stuff or said happy Merry Christmas to you or Happy Holidays or whatever, but I made sure that I did that to let you guys know, hey, I ain't forgot what you did for me.
I definitely appreciate that.
We're honored by that. And, you know, let me say this, because I actually interviewed Charles Wright a few years ago. You can check it out at the Gerwig.net archives. Nice guy. I like him. But there's no way he gets on before Teddy Long. and that's my whole problem. I saw that list leaked, and I don't really have a problem with Jacqueline, but, I mean...
I got you, man.
I just don't.
If you're feeling the way you feel, thank God I feel.
I just don't get it. And it's like,
I don't get it either, man.
I mean, Charles Wright, what do they call every now and then to come back, you know, once in a while, make a cameo appearance as the Godfather or something. But, I mean,
right.
you were just there a couple of years ago. They know you. How could they not honor you? That's just ridiculous. You know?
Well,
and again, I'm not kissing your ass because, hey, we tell it like it is on this podcast. This is this is real talk.
Well, and that's the problem with some people. Some people don't like to hear real talk. And that's a lot of the problems is that maybe sometimes when I'm doing a Raw Deal podcast, now maybe Frank D is a little too real because I don't sugarcoat shit. I tell it like it is. Like, why would you want to listen to a podcast that's going to agree with this and go with the status quo? I don't. I don't like TNA, so I bash them or not talk about them, period. I don't like them. And that's how it goes. But I want to ask you.
And then since we're speaking on that, too, look at those guys down there. They got nobody can talk. Dave Lagana knows me. He worked with me. He wrote some of my stuff for a lot of years and stuff. So, you know what I mean? I talked to him. He told me they didn't need nobody. You know, they didn't need a talker. That's what he said to me.
I got to be honest with you, Teddy. And no disrespect to you, player, but if I heard you were going to be on Impact, I'm going to just be honest with you, I wouldn't watch. Because I can't stand the Dead Brand TNA.
Well, what I'd like to do for you, Frank, if I did happen to go there, I'd like to change some stuff around where you would like to watch it.
Well, that'll hell freezes over type of situations there, and that's just how it is. But I would be open to that. But let me ask this question, Teddy, because a buddy of mine on Facebook, Thomas Grimm, wanted to know: are you really a fan of tag matches like that?
Well, let me tell you something about the tag team matches, brother. That started on its own. I wasn't told to go out there and say, make this a tag team match or do it the way I do it. All I was told is that, hey, we got these guys here tonight, we got a tag team match. I took it from there, and I went out and I put my spiel on it as right. to make it a tag team match, which made people like it because of the way that I introduced it.
Right.
So I wasn't told to do that or nothing. I just started doing that on my own. That was my own deal. It was just something that I thought I wanted to do. Like with The Undertaker, I don't know whether I ever told you this story, but one time Dusty Rhodes, God rest his soul, he came to me and told me, he said, "Hey, Teddy," he said, "I was on the plane with Lil Wayne." And he said, "Lil Wayne asked about you." And he said, "Lil Wayne, all Lil Wayne wanted to hear you say is when I introduced The Undertaker the way I did it. The Undertaker." And that, he said, all Lil Wayne wanted to hear was me say that. So there were just people that wanted to hear me make that tag team match. It was just the way that I did it. It was my creative, you know, it was me. So that's how that happened. It wasn't something that was planned and then I just went out and started doing it.
My favorite run with as far as, you know, your runs of WWE, it had to be when you were managing Rodney Mack and
the White Boy Challenge.
Exactly. That shit was funny.
Yeah, I looked at some of that stuff the other day. I looked at somewhere I was talking to Trish Stratus and I called her Snow White or something. I don't know.
That was good stuff.
And I forgot about some of that stuff that I even did. But yeah, it was good stuff. And Vince liked it. And if you can remember, you know, Mr. Kennedy, you know, he was one of the guys that was in the White Boy Challenge before he became Mr. Kennedy.
Right.
And I think I said to him, I said, "You want to be white so bad you done dyed your hair white. Look at you." Yeah, I remember that promo.
I remember Goldberg was in the White Boy Challenge, too.
Oh, yeah. But it didn't work.
Right.
Well, I appreciate that, man. You know, every time I come on with you guys, I have a blast, man. I just enjoy doing it, man. And like I said, you guys are so real. You know, you tell it like it is. You don't sugarcoat nothing. And that's the way it should be. You know, and I just enjoy being on the show. And like I've always told you, man, anytime you guys need me, give me a call, and I'm here for you. Yeah, I will throw this stuff out to you here before we go. Maybe last time I think we were working on the working on the website. We got it up and running now. It's teddylong.com. You can go there and you can find out anything you need to know about me. You can see where I'm, all my bookings, where I'm going to be as far as speaking engagements. Comic cons, wrestling shows, you know, anything that I'm going to be doing is right there on the website. And I'd appreciate it if the fans would go to it and let me, you know, hit me back and let me know what you think about it. And coming up next week, February the 20th on Friday, I'll be in Lucedale, Mississippi, with the Alabama Wrestling Federation. We're calling it Fan Appreciation Night, where we're giving away $25 gift cards to the fans. On February the 27th, I'll be in Midlothian, Illinois for Crash Test Wrestling. Got to be a big show there, and I'll be there along with WWE Hall of Famer, my man Ron Simmons will be on that show. Over in March, I'm doing something for Ignite Wrestling. I'll be telling, you know, giving you more details about that on the website, and that's kind of what I'm doing, man. You know, just having a blast. People are calling me left and right, and so I'm enjoying it. I'm working for myself now, and I ain't under no stress and all that, so I'm having a blast, Les. No, I don't right now. I'm pretty sure we're going to try to, you know, get some shows running. I'm going to talk to my guy on when I go down next week, and so we're going to be running some towns close around Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana. So we're going to be doing some stuff for WrestleMania week. Well, I they've got time to give me a call if they want me, you know, I'll show up, you know, but if they don't call me, I ain't worried about it. I got to keep on living. Oh, yeah, I'm doing good, man. I got back in the gym every day. And to show you that I love you guys so much, man, I usually don't let nothing interfere with my gym. I'll go to the gym then. Once I'm done with that, I'll come back and do anything I need to do. But today I didn't go because I wanted to talk to you guys. So, I mean, it's real important, you know, for me to talk to you guys, so I didn't even do my gym day, and I'm obsessed with the gym, so, but I'd rather do your show, and then I can take a day off and rest, and I can start back tomorrow, but, yeah, I'm in good shape, man. My weight's down to about 150, and so I'm doing all right, man.
That's what's up.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and once again, man, I love you, Frank D, and I love you, Steve. You guys are great, man, and thank you once again. Thank you so much.
No problem, man.